My name's Colin, and I'm hoping to run an ultra marathon every month in 2023.
And my name's Andrew, Colin's brother, and I'm going to be joining them for half a marathon during his ultra run every month. This is Idiot School Running, and this is episode 7, Missing the Malin, part 2. So, Colin, how are you today?
Very, very good.
Because in the last podcast, you had a bit of a cold, you weren't quite feeling right. You'd still done the run, but how you feel now? You're feeling better?
Yeah, do you know what? Let's be honest. It's taken me until the start of this week to recover. So that's about 2 full weeks of feeling rubbish, trying to recover. But it must have been just something I had, because when I was doing the run last time, obviously I was feeling a bit rubbish, really rubbish. And it must have set me back so far, Andrew, because I could not shift the tiredness, the feeling in my chest, phlegm, lots of phlegm.
And you reckon because you have MS, whenever you don't feel well, it does take you longer to recover and get back on your feet, so to speak?
Apparently so. But look, you could look at anyone who's maybe unhealthy or maybe don't have the best lifestyle. It takes anyone a bit longer to recover from colds and viruses, but especially with me. So my medication, as I've said before in previous episodes, is Ocrevus or ocrelizumab. So yeah, that kind of dampens my immune system. So when I get colds, when I get viruses, my body just really, really struggles to get rid of them.
So that's a bit of a downer to start the podcast on, isn't it? Talking about colds and talking about recovery and whatnot, but that's all.
No,
that's all part of it, really, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's not. No, it's a underdog glory story.
Underdog glory story.
No, it's you were feeling crap. You still got up. You still did the run. And yeah, it was a wee bit hard, but do you know what? You recover and you get up. Rocky Balboa, Andrew. Rocky Balboa. How many times was he knocked down?
Quite a few, I have to say. But he always got back up again.
And that wasn't sad. They're one of the best movies.
They are great movies. And so you're feeling better. You're not 100%, but you're getting there.
Yeah. Like yesterday, I went out for a run and it was awesome. And I was back to normal. And wow. People were actually looking at me, and I know they were looking at me, Andrew, going, he looks like he's feeling good today.
And why do you think that is? Because were you wearing anything different? Another leading question here in the podcast.
Yeah, you know it. I was getting a bit of pain in my arch, and my shoes have probably about 1,000 miles in them.
That's ridiculous just to say that, by the way. You've run 1,000 miles in a pair of shoes. That's crazy.
Yeah, so they're done. I think people say you get maybe some shoes 400 or 500 miles in them. 500 miles is really pushing it. Shoes are so dear. Everything's so dear that I thought I'm just going to hold on to these wee shoes for as long as I can. And I went and got myself a new pair last week.
And what pair of shoes did you buy?
A nice new pair of Nike running shoes. I'll not name the brand. I'll not name what level they're at.
Well, you just named the brand. You said a nice new pair of Nike running shoes.
You can get £20 Nike shoes and you can get £250 Nike shoes.
You've named the brand, but you're not naming the model, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, that's either showing off or that's someone just going, well, he should really get a better pair of shoes than that. So it doesn't matter what you're running in as long as you're running, Andrew. I suppose that's what I'm trying to say, you know. But they are beautiful.
And what makes them so beautiful?
They're actually hybrid shoes, Andrew. No, I'm only joking. They're not hybrid. They're not like my mittens. So yes, they're a beautiful shade of pink. I believe I showed you the colour of the pink. And what was your initial thoughts?
My initial thought. Now, I do design work. I've done design work for over 20 years. And I said to you, I have never witnessed a colour like this. It is pink. But they're not really pink. They are a shade of pink that I never knew was in existence. They are, I don't know how to describe, they're like fluorescent pink.
Mango pink, Andrew.
You call them mango pink. Normally I would take a comment like that, slag you off and go, what are you on about? But you're absolutely right. A great way of describing the colour of this pink is mango pink. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but if you look at them and hold them in your hand, you kind of go, aye, Mango pink perfectly describes them.
They're mango pink.
They're mango pink.
Yeah.
When you turn the lights off, you can still see them. You can still see
they're
them.
Still they're still mango pink.
They're still mango pink. They are a sight
beautiful
to behold. They really, really are. I have never witnessed the like them in all my life. I did put them on just to try them on around my house. Wouldn't go outside with them like this. I'll not be about the bush. They are light and they're nearly bouncy and springy. They are a sight and a feeling to behold.
Yeah, they're as comfortable as they look. And I showed my kids them. And my kids kind of, they even laughed at me, Andrew.
Well, that's and understandable.
Then, until Man United match came on. And Rashford walks out the tunnel and the boys turn to me and they go, Daddy. And I said, what boys? And they go, Rashford's wearing your shoes.
Actually?
Rashford. Yeah. Rashford's wearing bright pink. Martinez is wearing bright pink. Sancho's wearing bright pink. I'm sorry, Andrew, but your co-host is a trendy Mendy.
There's pink and there's mango pink. So they were maybe wearing pink, but were they wearing mango pink? I'm not too sure.
They were. Well, look, you probably... It's like Pantone colours. You can't get mango pink in a pair of football boots, but in the fabric they use for these running shoes, they're the mangoest pink you'll ever see.
So you've got new shoes, you're over the moon with them, you went out for a run yesterday and you're feeling good. And would you say this podcast is actually coming a week earlier? A week earlier. Tell us why we've brought it out a week earlier, Colin.
We've brought it out a week earlier because...
Do you want me,
it's either bringing it a week
do you want me
or,
to answer this?
No, bringing it a week earlier. is this a hard one?
It's a tricky one, folks.
No, either bringing it a week earlier or you can get like 100 episodes on one weekend. No, we've got a bit of a bottleneck coming up here, don't we, Andrew?
We do, yeah, to put it lightly. We've got our next run is on the, not a Saturday, it's actually on a Sunday the 30th of April. And why has it moved from a Saturday to a Sunday, Colin?
Because I'm going to run the Belfast Marathon, which isn't an ultra run. So I'm going to run to the start of the Belfast Marathon to allow it to be an ultra run. And hopefully, Andrew, you're going to be on time and meet me at the start.
So my plan is to start the marathon, to take a bit of a break in the middle of it, and then to finish the marathon with you.
A latte along the way.
Very much. I will have a latte on the way. So this will be quite nice for me because I am starting the marathon. Then I'll bring my bag. I'll bring your stuff in the bag. I'll then go, that's enough for me, after maybe 7 miles or so, and 7 or 8 miles. And then I'll take a wee break for a while and meet you across town for the last 7 miles or something like that. So that's the plan. Yeah. So you're doing a full marathon, and before you start before you put your foot over the start line, you'll have ran what, about how many miles do you reckon?
It'll have to be five mile. Now, from my house to the start of the marathon, I don't think it's even as much as 5 mile. So I might even finish running through the finish line and meet my family at a restaurant or a bite to eat, somewhere to eat on the Ormond Road.
You might actually finish the marathon and just keep on rolling. Grab your medal and keep running. Brilliant.
If I've got a mile to make up, Andrew, I've got a mile to make up, I'm going to try and plan it that I should have nearly 5 mile before starting the marathon. Then the marathon kicks off. I have my Idiot 2 support crew, which is yourself having a latte
along the way. Let's not mix that up.
I nearly said cafe. A latte along the way. So when I finish up, I need to have at least 31 mile, which is about 50 kilometers, which is like a decent ultra or a recognized ultra distance, I suppose.
So that is on the 30th, Sunday, the 30th of April. And you actually, at one point, you were actually going to run on the Saturday, the 29th and the 30th.
Yeah, I was going to do the day before to make sure I could get my ultra run in. But then, I don't know, I think we were just talking about it, Andrew, and just came up with this concept.
It makes sense. There's no point doing two ultras back to back, and the marathon was there, so you were already in for it, yeah. So it made perfect sense. So that answers part of the question. We're running on Sunday the 30th. We still could have done a podcast on the 24th, bringing it out on the 25th. But the reason for bringing it forward is I think you came up with the idea of maybe spreading it out a wee bit, and certainly over the last podcast or two, I felt that too, where maybe it's just better, instead of having having two so close together. We spread it out just a little, so you're going to have one in the middle of the month and one at the end of the month, which does cause a bit of a problem where we won't have our regular updates of how many times have we ran this month. Spoiler alert, I have ran as much in these 2 weeks as I had the whole of last month, so I'm doing a bit better that way.
I'm just not going to say, because it is not too early in the month to say how much you've run.
You haven't been feeling well either. The other reason for that...
I've ran twice, Andrew. Oh,
wait, so you're admitting it, you've ran twice, but you have...
The last two days.
But I think, in fairness, I think I took a week off and then I started running again. But you do need a week to recover at least, and then get up and running. And spoiler alert, there was no snow or ice in Northern Ireland during these past few weeks.
But there was sickness.
There was sickness. Now, when we come into May, we've a bit of an issue here, Colin, because the last Saturday in May is the 27th, and I am not in the country, so we can't run that weekend.
Let's do it the week before.
We could do it the weekend before, which is Saturday the 20th, but your eldest child and my eldest child are expecting letters that will tell them where they're going to big school next year on that day, and you can't be away for that letter, Colin, because really you go at about 8:15 in the morning, you would miss the letter and miss all the caper, and we can't really be doing that. And likewise, you know, we might be going out with our kids and our families, so can't really do it that day.
No. What about the week before?
Well, that would be Saturday the 13th, and mm-hmm. there we have a football match to play in, or soccer, depending where you are in the world, a joint 40th birthday football match to play in. So we can't really do an ultra marathon or a half marathon and more around that.
Well, what about the weekend before that?
That brings us to the 6th, Colm, the 6th of May, and that is 6 days after the marathon. So we've got Sunday the 30th. And then 6 days later is Saturday the 6th. That's not much time in between runs, never mind.
No.
Not much time in between podcasts. So we've got this podcast coming out. We're going to then do our recap on Monday the 1st. So hopefully our next podcast will be out Tuesday the 2nd. And then when are we fitting the run in? Well, we're not actually going to run on Saturday the 6th. We're going to run Monday the 8th. And no, we're not taking time off work. Why are we running Monday the 8th, Colin?
Because...
I'll answer. Don't worry, leave it with me. I'll maybe answer this one for you. I've got the calendar in front of me, so it makes it easier. It is King Charles III's coronation. So here in Northern Ireland, we are off. It's a bank holiday Monday here in Britain on the 8th, and we decided we are going to run the 8th. So it gives us 8 days of a bit of a break in between.
So what you're saying, Andrew, what you're really saying here is that King Charles heard about our podcast, heard about our difficulties, and then decided to do the coronation on the 8th so we could take a day off to do our run to pull us out of a hole. Is that what I'm hearing?
More or less. May has turned into a very, very busy month. And when we were discussing this, 27th's out, 20th out, 13th's out, Saturday. And then I go, Colin, we're doing it the wrong way. What about the week after the 27th? That would be the 3rd of June. What's wrong with that? We could run that weekend.
And I think I calmly responded, Andrew, it's June.
That's June. And straight away I thought, oh yeah, we'll have to run every month. So we can't do nothing for 12 months and in December go, we've got like 12 ultras or 12 half plus marathons to do, half marathons to do.
and we didn't do one.
That would be a bit of a cop out. We'll have to do one every month. So May's a tight month, Colin. And it's going to be two back-to-back runs. On the plus side, we can take it easy. May, after the 8th, we've got lots of time.
So we've actually got loads of time to recover. But are we doing an earlier run in June? Or is that for... We'll talk about that in the next one.
We'll talk about that in the next one. I'm having a... We might actually be running on the King's birthday, which is the 17th of June, I think, is possibly penciled in, because we can't make it on the last Saturday of June, but we'll go into that on another podcast. So we will. The year started well with the last Saturday of every month, but things get in the way, don't they?
Do you know what? See, the running's the easy part. It's the organising it is an absolute nightmare, isn't it, Andrew?
It can be.
It's trying to get all our ducks in a row, and all the kids and the busyness and the madness. It's like, to be honest with you, our wives are no problem whatsoever. It's the kids.
The kids have a lot on, and there's a there's a lot of stuff on, but that's life and that's good. And we're fairly well into this podcast, Colin, and we haven't even talked about missing the mall. And I know this is part two. there's definitely going to be three parts. I'm now thinking there's going to be four parts.
This is going to be like the Harry Potter. How many books did they have? About
seven books and eight films, seven. I believe.
This missing the mall is going to be made into a film by the end of it.
And what a film it would be.
Who would play you?
Oh. Now, there's a question.
Who would play you if Missing the Ballad was a movie, Andrew?
My wife's watching Modern Family at the minute, and you know Phil Dunphy? The actor who plays Phil Dunphy.
That would be... That's the perfect character.
Now, he's a bit older. He'd need to be de-aged a little bit, but that's who my wife thinks would she's mentioned yeah. time to time would be a good shout there. Oh. So answers on a postcard if you've got someone better. And yeah. Who would play you?
Do you know what? It needs to be someone, and it's not because of looks. It's just because very funny
go
actors. Okay, have you ever seen Channing Tatum be a funny actor?
Channing Tatum, I don't know.
my name is Jeff.
What's that in?
That's in 22 Jump Street, I think it is, 21 Jump Street, where he tries to play a Latino American. And they go, say something, Jeff. And he goes, my name is Jeff. it has me in stitches. He's also in... The guy with the blue shirt, what do you call it, with Ryan Reynolds. Bad Guys?
Free Guy.
Good Guy?
Free Guy. And a brilliant film it is. Really enjoyed that film. So let me get this right. Choose actors to play. I choose Phil Dunphy, or the actor who plays Phil Dunphy, and you choose Channing Tatum, who's also in Magic Mike. Right, so there you go.
He's very funny.
You know, you're very funny, so you are.
Nobody's class. In that Free Guy, he does a dance out of the room. Oh, come on. He's very funny.
Well, I'll tell it's the team up whenever knew we wanted until now, those two actors. So if there's a movie, that's going to play us. But we'll get into Missing Damalan, and we left you on a bit of a cliffhanger last time. Colin had hurt. This sounds like a made-up story, but it's all true. Like, kid you not. Colin had hurt his ankle going down a step. You were getting physio, you were days away from the Missing Damalan challenge. We'll maybe pick up. I came to your house. What day was that, Colin? What day were we leaving? It was the Saturday, wasn't it, I believe?
I think we left on the Saturday, yeah. No, Friday. We left on the Friday.
So we left on Friday, the 29th of July, 2022. And I turned up at your house. The van was there. You were ready to go. How was the ankle at that point?
It was okay. It was actually pretty much back to normal because I'd been to the physio and he had recorded how to strap it up and show me what to do. So every time before I start running, I had to strap it up in this way. So tape from one side up around the other side and tape from the back up the back of the leg. And it, as he said, it was, if it goes, it's not going to stop it, but it's just, it gives it a wee bit of support, Andrew.
When we headed off before we headed off, did you think the challenge is still on? I'm still going to do this.
Oh, always. From the minute I thought about the challenge, I thought, I'm going to complete this. There was never a doubt in my head I would do this. I would run through the pain, I would get over it, and I would just soldier on through. In my head, I was just going to complete this.
That's the way I felt too, until you went over in your ankle with a week to go, and I really thought, I wasn't sure. But as the day came closer and closer, and you were getting more confident that it would be okay, I was just hoping and praying that it would be okay, because it was such a blow to do all that training, to have your ankle, just for that to happen. But I turned up to your house, me and my family, you and your family, we had matching shirts, didn't we, I believe?
Yeah, we had shirts also from you branded as well. Stephen and you branded kindly did the shirts for us. It all looked all good. All the kids. The kids were more excited about that van, Andrew, weren't they?
Oh, it was a great van. The van was like
a welfare van.
A welfare van. So in the back, you had a toilet and a wee sink. In the middle of the van, you had a table with four chairs around it, with a sink and microwave and maybe a kettle or something. And then in the front, obviously, you had the three seats, and it was a brilliant fan. You had lights in the top, and it said welfare fan and all that business in the sides. It was well branded up. And we got in, it was a sunny day with our sunglasses on. Were you a bit emotional leaving your wife and kids? Because you weren't going to see them until the end of the challenge, which was 10 days on.
And no, I wasn't emotional. I don't think I was emotional. I was just could not wait to get started, Andrew. At this stage, you've done all the preparation. Everything, all your ducks in a row. You just want to get started. Like, to be completely honest,
that's 100% right. You just want to get started, and I was doing the driving, so we set off, we waved goodbye. It was really exciting, actually, Colin. We drove down to the border about an hour from your house, just maybe slightly over an hour, and around an hour to get to the Republic of Ireland, and then we maybe went another 2 hours, and we took our first break after about 3 hours of driving, maybe.
Yeah, we got a subway, didn't we?
We got a subway. It was great. It was still good weather at this point, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it was amazing weather. Absolutely amazing weather. Or at least as much as I can remember, it was amazing weather.
Can you remember much about the day traveling?
I remember we're listening to good tunes. And David Goggins.
You had the beats going. You had David Goggins. This was the first time I'd ever heard of David Goggins and who he was. And he sounded like an absolute nutcase. And he was. And he still is. And you had the beats going. And we were chatting. And it was just a real good time. So it was of just getting closer and closer. And every so often I'd go, it's unbelievable. You're going to be running all this distance. We're traveling down Ireland. You're going to be running back up this way. Not the same road or not the motorway, but in the opposite direction. And to get down to our hotel in Cork, how long was it, Colin? Do you remember?
I'm going to guess 6 hours.
I think it was maybe even a little bit more. So I'm just looking it up now on Google Maps to see roughly how far it was. And yeah, about 6 hours roughly. So yeah, maybe the 3 hour break, 3 hour to get a subway, was about the halfway point. And yeah, I have never been as far. I think just south of Dublin is the furthest I've ever been in Ireland, which is about,
really?
Dublin's about what, halfway, just slightly below halfway in the whole of Ireland. And I had never been as far as, where was the first place? Skibbereen?
Skibbereen, yeah. So it was down past Cork, isn't it? It's down past Cork.
It's on past Cork. We drove past Cork. And I say very close to the start line. It was still about an hour's drive away.
Yeah, I think when you're planning it in your head, you've got the drive all the way down, which seems that's a decent wee drive. And then you say, right, but that's me in Skibbereen. So we're just literally round the corner. But in your head, on the map, and in real life, it's different.
Very different things. And we'll maybe come to that, because that's a great point you're picking up at. Before we get there, tell us about, we got to the hotel, Skibbereen, beautiful wee town, wee village, isn't it? We drove around it twice, actually, because we missed, there was nowhere to park, because it was like a one-way system, and the roads were so small, so we actually drove around it twice, looking for a place to park.
Yeah, so yeah, we got out and we went into, or it was actually, we got out of the van, and where the hotel was sitting was just after this wee bridge. It like literally had a river running out the front of it. It was absolutely incredible. We went in. Do you remember his name, Andrew? No.
He was the manager, but I don't remember his name. Mr. Manager.
So we went in.
Who would play him in the film?
Would play him?
Basil Fawlty, maybe? No. That's reserved for someone else.
No, this is a steely look. I would say someone like you know, the first Batman, Michael Keaton.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Good shout.
He was all about, I'm a manager of this hotel. He'll go and he'll do his job, and then he'll get back to being a manager. He does what he needs to do. That's just the impression I got. So I got my picture taken with him, Andrew. Do you remember that? And in front of, because we're going, I'll get a picture of you and we'll post it and say, we've got to our hotel. And I thought, where are we going to get this picture taken? Guess where he picked, Andrew?
I do remember where he picked.
Do you remember? It was in front of this pop-up about getting married.
Getting married at the hotel. But he was lovely, very, very generous guy, really, really nice guy.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you remember the receptionist?
Oh, she was good crack. She was telling us lots of stories about her daughter, getting her daughter a job, I believe, Andrew.
She was good banter. She was really nice. And there's going to be a story, or there's going to be several stories of just some of the people you meet on a trip like this. And I should say that because when I was thinking about this, when we were driving down Ireland, certainly past, after we got past Dublin, and this was all new to me, all further down, I had never been as far as that, down in the Cork, down in the Skibbereen. And there's a moment, if you've ever seen it, called The Hobbit, the film The Hobbit.
Yes, I've seen it.
Where Bilbo Baggins is running through the Shire, and what's he shout?
I've got a ring.
I'm going on an adventure. And you know what? That's what I felt. I don't know about you, but I really felt that this was two brothers going down south, going on an adventure. Obviously, yours was more of an adventure than mine. If I want to use another Lord of the Rings example, you were Frodo and I was the other guy. What do you call him?
Samwise Gamgee.
I was Sam, so it was. But it really, did you get a sense of that this was going to be a real adventure?
Andrew, that's what it was like. But do you know the funny thing about Samwise?
Go for it.
I also believe he said the line, "I can't carry the ring, Mr. Frodo, but I can carry you." I believe that might be a point where you might have faltered in your Samwise Gamgee analogy.
Well, maybe I faltered quite a few times. Me and Sam, if I'm being honest, we'll get to those stories also. Is that how you felt, Colin? That this was a real adventure? On an adventure, you have a plan, but you don't know who you're going to meet. You don't know what things are going to pop up or how the thing is going to go. Did you feel that this was a start of a real adventure?
It was really exciting, and I'll tell you why. Our plan was to drive this route to figure out what it was like and maybe stay in the hotels with myself and Rachel, but just did not get the time to do this. Couldn't get sort of a couple of nights away without the kids to do this. So this was literally, Andrew, going into the unknown in a van that we didn't know, to places that we didn't know, just to talk to people that we didn't know. So this was literally, we don't know what's going to happen. I don't know these roads. I don't know where I'm running. So
yeah, it's not like a holiday where it's going to be relaxing or you've got things planned. This was like a real, just a real adventure is how I want to describe it. I'm going on an adventure.
It's just going on what the Australians might call it, a big walkabout, where you just go and you don't know when you're going or where you're going or what's going to happen. You're just, all you know is you're going to go to Mizzen and then you're going to start running. And then after that, everything is a complete mystery. Yeah, it's so exciting. And obviously you by my side the whole way was obviously going to be fun, was going to be lots of fun. And yeah, it turned out to be, it was just, yeah, we don't spend time. We probably spend a lot of time together, a lot of time than most brothers, but we didn't get this. Since we've had kids, we haven't had this quality time of Andrew and Colin. It's always been Andrew and Colin, can you sort out the kids? The kids need fed. Oh, we are going to have to leave in about 10 minutes, have to get the kids home to bed. Or, you know, we can't do this. Which isn't a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. It's not a bad thing. But this is the first time.
I think it's just life. If people grow up, they get married, they have kids. You know, when you're young, you have there's a lot of crack, there's a lot of banter. You can go off and do things in the run-of-mill of life with jobs, with family, you know, things. You go on holidays. It's all good stuff. It's all great stuff. But this really felt like not taking us back to our heyday or when we were young, of just something really different, or just the two of us and just taking ourselves off. And as you get older, you don't have the opportunity to do that as much. And no. I suppose in a way, this year is a bit of an adventure, of a different kind of adventure, where yes, it's not 10 days back to back, but it is 12 days or 12 certainly half days spread out over the course of a year. And it's just, again, I suppose that's coming off the back to Mizzen de Malin, your run last year, of trying to get that spark, trying to get that feeling of a bit of adventure, a bit of a goal, a bit of a challenge.
I believe this is a spark. The Mizzen de Malin, this adventure this year, yes, it might be a bit of training so I can push myself on to further longer runs, but the adventure is class, and this is nearly inspired by the Mizzen de Malin.
It is indeed.
Because we had so much fun, as we would say over here, the crack was amazing, that I think I finished it, Andrew, and I thought, this can't end, and that's what's inspired this year. this can't end. That their journey down, the chat, the banter, the being out there, the never running these roads. I always say, I've never run these roads. I'll probably never run them again. It's just inspired by the Miz and the Mallon this year.
So before you get too far ahead with that, we'll get back to Miz and the Mallon.
But the funny thing about the Skibbereen Hotel, do you remember, right? If you don't mind me saying, you'd like to have your blinds closed in your house. Because, I don't know, you're a bit of a weirdo that you always think people's going to look in your window.
So as soon as it gets night, blinds are shut.
Yep.
Even before it gets night, I shut the blinds, you know.
That's because you're a weirdo and you look in other people's windows. I'd never look in other people's windows.
I don't look in other people's windows, but it just freaks me out that I could be in my house with the lights on and I can't see. I can't see outside. But people outside can see me. And I can't see them. Oh, freaks me out even thinking about it.
So we're kind of all settled in the hotel room, sitting there,
we're just lying
on our beds. Just, I don't even know if we were talking. And I looked around and I looked at Andrew's face. I looked at Andrew's face. And I swear, it was like he was in pure panic. And I was kind of going, well, what's going on? And he kind of pointed at the window. There was a room across the way that had a couple of wee kids that were all jumping up, looking from their windows directly into Andrew lying on his bed, waving at him.
I was just laying in my bed and these kids were just waving and jumping in the bed and trying to get my attention. They got my attention and I didn't know what to do. Well, I didn't know what to do. I did two things.
But you didn't want to be rude. You didn't want to. You were kind of like half waving back, half moving closer to the window, and then you didn't want to be rude and just shut the blinds on them. So you like kind of politely closed the blinds while waving.
I gave them a wave. Well, not really smiling, just a bit of a wave with a bit of what's going on here, while moving towards the blinds, and then I shut them. And then all was right with the world again.
Oh, that did make me laugh. The hotel was lovely. The food in the hotel was lovely as well. I don't think you could eat, could you?
No, I think I did. I wasn't too hungry, but it was maybe nerves starting to kick in. I know I wasn't doing much, but nerves for you because the next day was going to be a big day. So we had the blinds shut. Brilliant. Big relief to get those blinds shut. Got a good night's sleep. As far as I remember, I slept pretty well. Do you sleep well?
I think so. Yeah. I think I slept like a baby. I didn't wake up. And I was well rested. I was feeling good. Everything was set out for me to wake up.
Yep, you had everything laid out the night before. I was nervous that morning, I have to say. What about yourself?
I was just making sure my cat box was plugged in and was keeping all my food all...
Well, we'll get to that cat box, Colin. We'll get to that cat box. So we'll,
okay.
But
at this stage in the game, we'll call it the
ice box. It was just an ice box, cool box. And
it's a cool box at this stage. Making
we had
sure
a cool box
in.
And it came with us everywhere. That's right. How could I forget about the cool box? It was a cool box and we would bring it into the hotel with us and plug it into the room and get ice packs and whatnot from the hotel or give them the ice packs and then they would bring it back to us. But we got a breakfast, good breakfast that morning. And I remember you telling the wee guy, the waiter, what you were up to and all this. Can't quite remember the times we left at. I vlogged all this, by the way. The vlog is yet to be released. Who knows? Maybe at the end of this year or at some point in this year, I'll get it all edited because it would be brilliant to watch that back. And then
good memories.
It would be quite something to just make it public and show you all a bit of an insight into things as it happened. So I can't remember what time we left at in the morning, but I do remember it took an hour from the hotel to get to Mizzenhead. And it kind of felt like we should have left earlier, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, and as we were driving the Mizzenhead, I think there's one or two hotels that passed, and I looked at them and I thought, I really should have stayed here because we would have been here an hour earlier. So yeah,
an hour doesn't seem that long, but how many miles were you due to do on day one?
Day one, the plan was to run 42 miles.
I knew the answer. I'll never forget it. 42 miles on day one. And we left the hotel. What time do you reckon we left the hotel at? Must have been about, was it 8 or half 8, Colin?
It would have been about half 8 by the time we got everything together, got ourselves all sorted.
I think we were hoping to leave at 8, to be in Mizenhead for 9, half an hour later by the time we left, which meant we were getting into Mizenhead at around 9:30. But I think it took us a little bit longer than expected, and we probably got in probably about 9:45, and really we were hoping to leave there at 9, or you were hoping to leave at 9 and a dot. And spoiler alert, I think it's safe to say people know you didn't complete this challenge. And I think it would be quite helpful, Colin, throughout this podcast or these few series of Mizzen and Malin's, just to highlight some of the mistakes or some of the things we could improve on. And one of them certainly was closer hotel to Mizenhead, without doubt, because that hour killed us. It was an uphill battle straight away.
Well, there you go. There's your one mistake and probably second mistake. Well, actually, that's probably your third one, because there was one before the uphill battle. So, first mistake was...
hotel wasn't close enough.
Well, let's go back to my first mistake.
Right.
I tried to go... So, yeah. So, obviously, spoiler alert, you've said that. So, I tried to go from 4 marathons to 9 ultras in a row. Okay? That's not going to happen. Full stop.
Yeah, did remember saying you call Matt. That seemed ambitious at the time.
So first mistake.
You had done training. You were in the gym. You were super, super prepared, but you hadn't completed an ultra.
No.
So the first mistake was too short a time. And the reason why it was 10 days and not longer is because you only have a certain time off work and family commitments and different things. I was likewise.
And then we get the Skibbereen, and then the drive to Mizzen probably would have been the second mistake. It was too far away and we set off too late. And then we get to Mizzen, Andrew. Do you remember Mizzen?
Now, Dakotan and Kanto song, there's not a cloud in the sky, Colin. It was the bluest of blue skies. It was the sunniest. Oh, it was a scorcher, Colin. I think I can safely say, I can put in record and say this was a scorcher. if you remember from the last podcast, this is a genuine scorcher of a day.
It was roasting, absolutely roasting. Maybe not this time in the morning, but it was... planning, it was prepping itself to be a roasting day. And then we got down to Mizzen and it didn't open until...
Well, Mizzen, before we get that bit, Mizzen is absolutely stunning. The countryside is stunning. The scenery is stunning. Actual Mizenhead is stunning. And it was you've got the wee plaque, the most southern point in Ireland. You had people were camping out there in motorhomes. You had there was a few people floating about that stayed there overnight. The cliffs, the scenery, the views, I got the drone out. It was stunning. But by this stage, you were starting to get a wee bit, you know, I need to go, I need to get going. But as you pointed on, you're about to say, what was the problem at Mizenhead?
It was actually closed, and we thought we couldn't get to the actual start point that I wanted.
Mizenhead is a place, and you need tickets to get to the most southern place in Ireland. Is that right? There's a walk down, just a path. It's you can't drive down to it. There's a car park. There's kind of a visitor centre. You need tickets to get to the very, very, very tip of Ireland. And it wasn't going to open for maybe another hour or something like that, Colin. And we were really late. And at one point we were talking about, and this is serious, do we jump the fence? Do we jump the fence to get down?
We were jumping the fence.
The security cameras and all this business, and we really weren't sure what to do. We were having this discussion. This discussion maybe lasted 5 minutes, Colin. Like, time's ticking. Yeah. We really felt the pressure.
I actually had a chat to a Dutch guy on a bike, and he thought that place was amazing, by the way.
What place, sorry?
Mizenhead. There was a Dutch guy that cycled down, and he was down, I think his wife's family were, his wife was visiting their family in Cork, and he came around, he spun around on his bike, and obviously me, this is maybe the fifth person I've told about my run, Andrew.
You didn't like telling people about your run. I think this guy cared. But we got talking to one or two people, but we're having this conversation, Colin, we really needed to get going, and
We have to be at the starting point, Andrew. We have to be at the starting point.
Do a hop the fence, because once you hop the fence, there's a bit of a path, and then there's a bridge, and then you go further down, and you know, you don't want to get into trouble, you know. But this was a real conversation. We didn't know what to do, and then was it me or you noticed?
Well, imagine finishing it and not starting from the right point and all this being in vain.
And we didn't research this. Again, it's called Idiots Go Running. We really just thought we'd get there and we'd get and to the bottom and then we'd start running. Who was it that noticed, Colin?
I can't remember. Was it you or me? I can't remember.
It was obviously one of the two of us, Colin. Like,
I just remember looking down and we were literally standing on the flipping start line.
There's a line that says, one side says start, the other side says finish. I kid you not, we are standing here discussing whether to hop this fence for 5 minutes. We are standing on the start-finish line and we look... And we just are in disbelief beyond belief.
But people can overhear us, Andrew. There's people standing around, right? People can overhear us talking. I'm fully kitted out in running gear with a t-shirt that says Ms. DiBala going, where's the starting line? We're going to have that fence to get over the starting line. And we're going, look at them two freaking heat. Just, they're actually standing on the starting line.
We were standing. There was a few people about. There's a few nice picnic benches. At this stage, there wasn't many people about. But even in those 10, 15 minutes, Colin, more and more people start to come. Not big numbers, but just trickles of one or two people. And I got the drone out.
These idiots.
I got the drone out. And I took the drone out and I said, go for it. And you started running. I said, stop. It wasn't right. I went up too quick or something. Or I didn't
You hadn't started recording or something. Can you go back to the start again?
Something. Go back
Everyone
to the start.
Was cheering, Andrew. Everyone
and
was cheering.
People were cheering. I said, sorry. False start. Because it was an amazing atmosphere. Because people were cheering. Yeah. Sorry. We're redoing that bit, and you look at me and go, seriously,
you know what?
Or seriously, Andy? Serious?
It shows how long we were there, that people are actually starting to
They're watching us. They know what's going on. They can see your jersey. You can see the way you're cut out. You're gonna attempt to run Ireland. 3, 2, 1. We do it again. The drone goes up. This time it's recording. Well, this is the second time now that it's recording. I think it was recording the first time, but it just didn't go up quick enough because I didn't know you'd take off as quick as you would. I went up much, much quicker with the drone. You went running. Everyone started cheering. Now, there wasn't big numbers, but everyone started cheering. And we didn't tell them to cheer. It was just a natural thing that happened. It was a goosebumps moment. It was a moment that I'll live with me for a long, long time, maybe all my days. And Colin, you went off running and I followed you with that drone until you went out of sight. And I'll tell you how I felt. I was like, he's gone. Just like that, he was gone. And if I remember correct, I gave him a phone, or I gave him a, not my phone, I gave a camera to a couple that was there just because I got the drone. If you know anything about me, I like my shots, I like my vlogs. And I got them, so you were running past them. So I had the drone shot going up, following you, and then they followed you. They went out of sight and went over to speak to them. I must have chatted them an easy 15, 20 minutes. And by this stage, Colin, there was a group of bikers coming, cyclists, and the place was really filling up now. There was families coming. Yeah. It must have been close to opening time. It was starting to get really, really busy. And I dandered back to my van. I got into my van and you had your Garmin tracker on and I went off to follow you. And do you know what, Colin? I got back in that van and it really hit me that we'd spent the full day with each other overnight. That morning, a bit of crack. And then you were just gone. And I was left. Yeah. In the van by myself. But you tell me how you experienced that after the full start, starting to set off again.
After full start. Well, I think I started running and I was like, right, let's go. And this time it wasn't a full start. Got to the corner, round the corner, and I was looking at going, this place is really nice. And I think I took a selfie. I jumped up onto the hill and took a selfie, I'll be honest with you. But then I kept on running and you got out of Mizzenhead. And my first thought was, where am I going? Because literally, Andrew, I was being guided by this watch. I didn't know these roads. I didn't know if I was going the right way. I didn't know if I was going the wrong way.
So tell us about that, because you had a new watch. It was a Garmin GPS watch, and you had your route. You had your route pre-planned. Is that correct?
Every route was uploaded. And basically, so the first day, this is my first day route, second day route, third day route, fourth day route.
So you had planned it before, but you were relying on your phone to tell you left, right, straight on or whatever.
Yeah, I was relying on this watch to beep to tell me to turn left and go right and turn left. And like, I didn't know where I was going, Andrew. And mistake number, what mistake are we on now? Are we already on maybe 4 or 5? I've lost count already.
Well, let's think about it. There was a... There was the ultra marathon, one ultra marathon, nine ultra marathons. So we'll call that one.
Mistake number one. Yeah.
Hotel being too far away. Two. Not leaving early enough. Three.
Not knowing where the starting line was.
Four.
And that's linked in with not knowing mizzen heads open. So anyway, so we'll call this five.
Right. What was five then?
Five was my first route was 2,000 meters incline. From start to finish.
Now, what's that mean? Because I didn't really understand what that entailed, so to speak.
That's a lot. Like, usually if you're running flat, it's okay. But it was just climb from start to finish.
The whole day?
The whole day was climbing.
If I said I didn't understand that at the start of the day, I sure did at the end of the day. Because even the last few miles, and we'll quickly touch on it and then go back, but the wee van was struggling to get up, but never mind you trying to run up. It was unbelievable, but we'll get to that. But not really a way to avoid that, Colin, is there? Because you are going...
Yes and no, but I was trying to do this run as raw as I could, Andrew. So I was trying to run...
Well, this is mistake six, without doubt. And this was
hotel.
I don't want to say happy with, but I think you were doing a very purist way of trying to run the length of Ireland. So what were you trying to do? You were starting off from a hotel. Apart from the start line, you were going from hotel to hotel. And tell me your thought behind that. So you would run to the hotel the next morning, leave that hotel, run to the next hotel. And why did you decide to do that?
Because I can run 42 miles, followed by 40-something miles, followed by another 40-something miles, because I can do it. But like, it was just because I wanted to not jump in the car and go back to square one and then go again and then jump in the car and go back. But looking back, I would have been able to, because it was running off distance so much, from hotel to hotel was adding on 5 miles here and there, and 5 miles here and there when you're doing this type of distance.
Far too much. Far too much.
It adds up over 9 days, put it that way.
And also the hotels dictated the route. You didn't run probably the quickest. Well, you certainly didn't run the quickest route, or you wouldn't have run the quickest route. But you wouldn't have. You would have picked an easier route.
I would have picked a more direct route.
A more direct route. I think a better plan would have been to run, say, 30 miles, 35 miles. Stop at that point. You get in the van. We'll go to the hotel. Maybe it's half an hour away. Maybe it's 5 minutes away. Doesn't matter. Next morning, I drive you to the very point I drop you off. Or I picked you up at the previous day, and we go on from there. Do you, looking back, or if you were to do it again, is that what you would do?
Yes, definitely, 100%. I would.
You
go
say
back.
Definitely. I was a bit of a pause there, Colin.
No, I was trying to think. It's so the 9 days. So if you were to add on an extra day and then divide that out, so. Over the actual time, because as this run was going on, there was a short day. There was actually a day that wasn't an ultra. So when you take them miles and add them off on over the rest of it, you would end up with reasonable miles every day, which would allow you to get better rest, which would allow you to get better sleep. But sure, we'll get to that point. But yeah, so that was mistake number five. Was
number six, six now?
That was mistake number six.
This is mistake number six, and literally this is the first, the start line, basically, we've made six mistakes before you even put your first foot down on this journey. And that's all part of an adventure, I suppose. But
you learn, and
hindsight. This podcast is actually going a lot longer already than we thought. So we'll maybe not cover all the first day, because there's so much to cover. But I remember meeting you up, maybe, and I'll tell you about my plans. I thought, as the man in the van, kind of the welfare guy and keep an eye on you, I brought my laptop with me, and I thought I would drive for maybe an hour and then make myself a wee coffee and do some editing and then meet up with you. And you know,
you're itching for this latte. That's all you're itching for.
Well, I wasn't making lattes along the way. It was a wee Aeropress and it was a wee filter coffee I was having. It wasn't that fancy of a welfare fan, you know what I mean? No. But
meanwhile, you said looking like some sort of special agent on the side of the road with your laptop and coffee.
Yeah, I thought I'd be living it up. Just every hour, just saying a quick hello to you and, you know, meeting you up, keeping an eye on you and getting to do a bit of work. But it wasn't like that at all, Colin. I think it wasn't like that at all because you really had to keep, or I really had to keep an eye on you, not because you couldn't do it or anything, just because of the roads and the route. I was following you in GPS and your wife, she had you up. Speaking of the GPS, she put a tracker, or she put your, what do you call that, your link up on Facebook, so people...
Mistake number 7.
Oh, I'm writing this down. Number 7. Now, people could watch you, people could click on your Facebook link and see exactly where you were. Why was that mistake number 7?
Because at one stage I got a phone call because I went off track. Andrew, I was only off track about, like, not even half a mile. And I got a phone call going, Colin, you're going the wrong way. I had my mum up late looking at a map going, he's here. Like, it was literally some sort of, like, a table with a light over it, a big map on the table, like some sort of military operations he was planning, right? So there was that. Then there was people who were watching this dot, like, wasting their life watching a dot move up Ireland as slow as, like, thank you everyone for watching that dot. But, like,
there is two things here, because it is engaged. Encouraging. People were engaged, Colin. It's encouraging to know that people are so invested, because it is an adventure. It's something that people don't do, or certainly normal people don't do. And just to track and to see how you're getting on, that's an encouragement. But again, there's also a bit of a burden with that, because I remember once... There's a bit of pressure because, you know, it's like Big Brother... Someone's always watching you, or the potential of someone always watching you. And remember once maybe getting 3 text messages when you went off. And it didn't happen that much that you went off turn. But
he's going very slow. Is everything okay? Has he stopped? And then you're kind of going, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it didn't help you if you were getting messages or phone calls to say, what's wrong? Why you stopped? I'm taking a water break. Right, that's okay. But the water breaks lasted 5 minutes. That's because I'm tired. you can't understand it. But if you were doing it again, you might not show that. And that's a bit of a bittersweet thing, because it's brilliant for people to watch you and to see how you're getting on. But at the same time, for the one that's maybe doing the run, it's maybe hard. But it's a hard one, because it's nice when you get messages to say you're going off course, because one of the times, and you maybe were only off course 2-3 times, but one of them certainly was helpful. You didn't realize,
they built a new motorway,
and that was the reason for that. So would you do that again? Would you have the tracker going again for public consumption, so to speak?
I would have a tracker going for safety purposes, but I wouldn't have it posted on Facebook for personal purposes. But yeah, so it would be updating people maybe once or twice a day, and that would be it.
Because I think you did do was very good, is you took a message to yourself, a video message, and I suppose that was maybe a better thing to do, because you were able to, you know, you were showing some of the scenery and giving wee updates and whatnot, rather than just having the tracker. But there's pros and cons to all these things. And again, thank you so much to everyone that was following, because there were so many people. So in a way, it does seem a shame to say you wouldn't do that again. But when you're in the middle of it and you've got a real goal and a real focus, you need to keep that goal and focus.
And you know what, Andrew? I wouldn't do it for my mum, because it's not fair on my mum.
Well, mum's listening to this, so tell me why that is, because that is quite a point.
Because she was up racking her brain, reading a map, trying to find out where I am, and, you know, it's not fair.
You ran every mile, but mum watched every mile that you went.
Mum tracked every mile, physically tracked every mile.
And here, folks, that's what being a mum's all about, looking after your son, or maybe sons. Well, she wasn't tracking me, so looking after your son.
But yeah, that was mistake number, whatever you call it.
That's 7th. We're up to 7 mistakes, and we've barely left missing head. We'll maybe get halfway through this day. We'll end it shortly, but how was the start of that run? Were you buzzing? Were you loving life? Again, the weather was a scorcher.
Weather was a scorcher. Mistake number 8. Can we get to there?
Go, it depends. What is mistake 8?
It's a very, very quick one. See when you're a runner and it's a warm day, normal sun cream just drips off. I was
putting it on you and it was like, this is just running off. You were sweating so much. It just wasn't soaking in. It was doing nothing. Oh, we're going to have a ninth. We went straight from 8th to 9th. What was your 9th mistake?
Not wearing a hat.
Not bringing a hat. Didn't even bring a hat, did you?
I didn't think. I've never ran a hat before. This would have been the first time I've ever ran a hat, Andrew.
Do you know what?
So I've never needed a hat.
But I love running a hat. Love running in a wee hat. It's good for the wet weather. It's which we found out when we were running around Slemish, and it's good for the sunny weather too.
Yeah.
But you didn't bring it and you knocked my hat. No.
Yeah,
so I offered up my hat and you gladly took it. So we're up to 9, and again this is within the first hour or two of the run. We've made 9 mistakes.
Well, this'll be the first day. It wasn't within the first hour it was.
It's a combination of things of planning.
Bad prep.
Yeah.
Yeah. All planning. But look, as you say, the best way to learn is to just jump in with 2 feet and figure it out. That, and I think that's the way, Andrew, I've always learned. I've never been the type of person that reads a book, studies up, and does everything perfectly by the book. I will jump in, throw myself in, and just make as many mistakes as I can.
And well, you're ticking those boxes like you wouldn't believe at the minute, but you're 100%.
Do you want, Andrew? I will still tick them boxes, and I will always tick them boxes. It's better to fail, because it just shows that you're pushing yourself that wee bit harder. It's better to make mistakes because you're trying to learn. You know, people who don't make mistakes never really excel.
What is it? Shoot for the stars, and if you land on the moon, that's
Couch,
good.
Is it?
Or something, I don't know, something like that. But if you shoot for the stars, land on the moon, what to say?
Shoot for the stars, and you land
no good,
like
no good really land on the moon, but not many people have been there. You didn't make it to the stars, but you're still not on Earth, so you're somewhere in between-ish. So there's a saying out there to do with that somewhere. So
bring a spacesuit.
You bring a spacesuit. You went out running. I kept meeting up with you, and you know it was brilliant. Quite often, when you were getting a quick refuel, and we'll maybe stop at one of the refuel breaks, because I remember meeting a guy, yep, and he was going off for a walk, and he started to speak to us, and I think he got his photo taken with you, Colin. He wanted a selfie with you, and he wanted to find out all what you were doing. And the people down south, person after person after person, so, so nice, so, so generous, so invested in you. They would make notes of who you were, or look up your Facebook page and
or share with their friends.
Share with their friends. Say they'd be following you. You'd be willing you're on. So, so many. Nearly everyone we came in contact with. It was unbelievable.
There was one guy, Andrew, who cycled past me, right? And I was in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I was well out of Mizzen. When I say well out of Mizzen, I would maybe say 20 miles out of Mizzen, and he cycled past me. Then he cycled up beside me. He goes, "What are you doing out here?" I was going, "Well, I'm trying to run the length of the country." And then did not open up a conversation. He actually lived in the local area, and it was a big lake sitting where he lived. And I said to him, I said, do you realize you live in such an amazing place? He goes, "Colin," because at that stage I told him my name. He goes, "Colin, I wake up every day and I just go out and I look in the balcony and I look at where I live." And he goes, "I'm blessed." And I said, "You are?" And I said, "I'm trying to run length this country." He goes, "That's amazing." He says, "Why are you doing it?" And then we got into the story about MS and everything. But that guy actually just cycled past me. He read my t-shirt, and then he cycled back up beside me. And he was just one of the nicest people I've met.
Absolutely amazing. The people we met, it's hard to put into words just how kind, how generous, how invested they were into you, as I say. And where were you aiming for the first day? Where were you hoping to get to?
On the first day?
The end of the first day, yep.
The first day I was aiming to go to Ballinagiri, Kilmore, and the hotel was Gugan Barra Hotel.
Gugan Barra. And we'll pick that up at the next episode. Or no, the next episode is going to be how the marathon run got on. And then we have another run back to back. So we might actually have 2 run podcasts and then Mizzen to Malin part 3. So we're really stressing this out over the year, aren't we? But there's so many stories to tell. And I think,
oh dear,
Gugan Barra, oh my goodness. That was, hard to put into words, but there's so many stories about getting there and then being there and leaving there. That's going to be a podcast in its own right. So we'll leave it there.
Well, we'll leave you with one wee thing. In Gugan Barra, we met possibly the two nicest people we've ever met. And one was just loved. He was so happy that we brought a cat box with us.
And as a teaser for the next podcast, or the one after that, or it could be the one after that. And there was McCall just said there, it may sound bizarre, but he's 100% right. He's absolutely 100% right.
Come here, kitty. Come here, kitty.
Just you wait, guys. Just you wait. So until the next time. Well, we're not going to. We'll not just say that straight away, because we'll let you know. We're, as we said at the start, we're running on the Sunday, the 30th of April. The podcast, the next podcast, will hopefully be out Tuesday, the 2nd of May. And if you have anything else to say, Colin, where can we find you, or how can people get in touch?
Yes, so I'm actually now posting more stuff, not loads of stuff, on my MS Running Adventure Facebook page. So if you go on, you can see my beautiful mango pink shoes. You can see various things I've been doing. And then there's the odd wee MS post on it as well about the advances in MS. That, do you know what, Andrew? The bit of money I raised has gone towards research, and there's been massive developments in MS. So doing them wee bits might just seem, well, it's only a couple of £1,000 here and there.
You say a couple of thousand, but how much did you raise?
9,500. But every single person who donated, that money went to the research that's now opened up octopus trials. So they've got their fingers in various trials, and if there's anything that works, then they will develop that there further. So the likes of Kerry, Keith, Marjorie, Mum, Dad, on-track technicians, yourself, Andrew, anyone who donated stuff, all the hotels, you know, you've all been a part of actually moving towards really valuable research. And I know we talk about this run and how amazing this run was, but I was also raising money for MS and research, Andrew. So I would say that anyone who's put one penny or more towards this run has helped us get closer to a cure or something to stop this MS, this disease, developing.
And that's something we can't thank every single person enough for that. And you can also contact us at Gmail, idiotsgorunning@gmail.com. And until the next time, my name's Andrew.
My name's Colin.
And we'll see you with plenty more mistakes and things not to do next time.
On the Idiots Go Running. This was a mistake. This whole podcast was a mistake.
Definitely not, Colin. Definitely not. We'll see you next time.